Such a very beautiful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place today. God is so good. God is so good. You can be seated this morning. I'm looking up here. Of course, you can't see it from where you're sitting, but I've got 6 water bottles. Somebody is getting me well stocked here. So good to see Brother Larry. I know Brother Phil had mentioned that. So it's also great to see our bishop here today. Sister Jeanette Thunder has been out for some time. It's so great to see you, Sister Jeanette. God bless you. And our friends Galen and Ann Thompson. I looking across and I'm like, hey, good to have you here with us today. God is so good. We're in a series. This will be my last series as your pastor, and I'm excited about this series because this series is the power of the Word of God. And in the preparation for this, I've done a lot of reading. And one thing that worries me, and that is, as we get more and more used to, more and more integrated, that social media and such becomes integrated into our lives, and podcasts and all this, I hope we never get to the point to where that the podcast is primary and the Word of God is secondary in our lives. We need the Word of God to be the primary source of God in our lives. I don't ever want to get to the point. Now, there's nothing wrong with a podcast. There's nothing wrong with, there's a lot of great information out there that we can utilize and we need to utilize. But I don't want to get to the point to where that I've watched 6 hours of podcast a week and I've read my word for 10 minutes. Are you hearing me this morning? Either the word is either it's we're going to make it or break it. We're in the final stretch in this world. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back very soon. And we're in this. I want to finish this race strong. I want to finish it as God intended the church to finish it. I want to finish it in victory. And the only way we're going to do that is if we have a strong reliance on the Word of God. What sets us apart from anybody else is the Word of God. When we look at the Word, the power of the Word, this is part 3 in our series. The Bible contains 66 books. Now, we've covered this on Wednesday evenings. I have not yet covered this introduction on a Sunday morning, but the Bible contains 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 31,102 verses, with 783,137 words and 3,116,480 letters, not including periods, commas, exclamation marks. It's written over a period of 1,500 years by some 40 different authors in 3 different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. And this word is the inspired word of God. When I look at the Word of God, I don't just look at it as, well, this is a set of rules and regulations that God requires humanity to live by. I look at this as a living testament to the relationship between my God and myself. Because He wrote the Word to me. How many of you believe that He wrote the Word? Everyone say, He wrote the Word to me. To me, meaning it's personal. It's personal. And as we continue with our series, The Power of the Word, I want to read our passage. Hebrews 4:12 states that God's Word is living, it is active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. If you read the Word of God and it is boring to you, then you are reading it from the wrong perspective. Have a little bit of prayer time, a little bit of repentance time. I want to encourage you to get to know the author of this book. It's living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and the discerning and thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's Word has the ability to get precisely pinpoint. That's why we can come in on any given service, and we may come in a bad mood, a bad day, and a little bit on the ornery side, and we listen to the worship, and we begin to hear the Word as it comes forth, and it begins to do something inside of us. Maybe you came in here and you have marriage issues, or you have job issues, or family issues, and or finances, and you come in, and you're like, how His Word penetrates into my heart. He can penetrate into your heart, and it's totally something different. Isn't that amazing about God and His Word? We read in 2 Timothy as Paul writes a letter to a young protege, a young minister, Timothy, in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, reading out of the NIV, "All Scripture is God-breathed. It's God ordained. This was God's Word to humanity. And it is useful for teaching. It is useful for rebuking." A lot of us, we don't like when a pastor or some spiritual authority gets up and we feel like we're being corrected or rebuked. Understand something. It's not the pastor necessarily he may be the one doing it, but if he's reading out of the Word, it's God's Word doing it. We get mad at the pastor because we're afraid to get mad at God. So that the servant, why? Rebuking, correcting, and training in what? In righteousness. So that the servant of God may be what? Thoroughly equipped to do or for every good work. The Word of God is designed to teach us. It's designed to rebuke us. It's designed to correct and train us in righteousness so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So I want to start off this lesson with this point. If you're taking notes, we're going to talk about this morning tapping into the power of the Word. Now, it's one thing to hear the Word and to continually hear the Word. But we have to be able to tap in to the Word of God. Now, at my home, and I'm assuming that everyone's home here is very similar to mine when it comes to this. How many of you have those little boxes on the wall that electricity? We have one right back here. It's a little box. And there's a power cord that plugs into that little box. How many of you have those in your home? How many of you have ever stuck your finger in to that little? We had a few, brother. How many of you are electricians here this morning? You probably know exactly what I'm talking about when you touch that, if you get your finger far enough in there, what happens? You get a jolt, don't you? And it kind of comes out your elbow or your knee. But when we look at this, there's power there. But it's not just there's power there. There's any outlet that you see. There's power there. There doesn't have to be a cord plugged into it, but there's still power there. Not every outlet in my home has something plugged into it. Some do, some don't. but there's power. But the big thing is that we have to understand as a homeowner is, what can that power do for me? What does that power do? Knowing where the power is not good enough. I can look around this room and there's outlets. There's an outlet right over here, and there's by Brother Jay, there's nothing plugged into that outlet. So the key to electricity is knowing how to access and plug into that source. That's very much the same as the Word of God. It's useless unless I tap into it. I have to tap into that. It serves me no purpose. It's just a bunch of words in a book until I tap into it. I have to tap into it. I have to be able to take and make contact with it. My fingers have to be the power cord that runs from the Word off these pages, the 3 million plus words that run and get into my mind and into my heart. So it's the same with God's Word. Unless we tap into the power in a proper way, all of that power will do us no good and produce nothing in our lives. You see, there's a connection between knowledge and power. If we know the Word, if we live the Word, we then experience its power. When we experience its power, we are experiencing God's power. That's why He put it in a source that anyone could access. We are experiencing the power. We are experiencing God's power, tapping into the power of the Word. But it requires three things that every one of us must do. Psalms 119, 105, many of you probably in your very first Word of Flame Bible that you ever owned, this was on the first cover. As you opened it up, there was a page, and this scripture was at the bottom of that page. How many of you have ever had an old Word of Flame Bible? I won my first Word of Flame Bible in La Crosse by my Sunday school teacher, Sister Florence, because I memorized every week a Bible verse for, it seemed like it was months and months and months. It probably was. She was an older lady, so she didn't cut us any slack. But this passage of scripture, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Every time I see that scripture, I think of Sister Florence. I think of my first Bible. Read the Word. Tapping into God's Word, the power of God's Word, is a journey that can transform your life. With each verse, the Bible offers insights and wisdom that encourage personal growth and empowerment. Now, some of you may say, well, you know, Pastor, this is a little bit elementary for me. But I would guess, I'm just going to take an educated guess here, that most of us struggle with reading the Word every day. I'm not going to put a show of hands and say, how many of you didn't read the Word this week? I'm not going to put you on the spot. But the Bible has all kinds of insights and wisdom. It's amazing to me how many people come in for counseling, and I ask them, one of the first questions I ask them, have you prayed about this, or have you read your Word? Well, no, I don't really know where to go to find it. That's where Google can come in positive in your life. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." I love that insight right there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That tells me that when I pick this up and I hold this, this is God right here. This is his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That's awesome. That is powerful. If we could just grasp that. I have a number of quote books at home, and as I stated last week, I was moving my library from the church office to my home office, and it was kind of a long process for me because I run across all these books, and I'm like, oh, man, this is a cool book, and I like books, okay? Now, my wife does the reading online, the Kindle thing, and I got to have pages to turn. I got to have a highlighter. This is my way of reading a book, is I'll buy a book, and I'll get out my highlighters, and I got my orange, my yellow, and my green, and I like to take and mark all my books up, and I highlight them all, and then I color the pages, the corner of the page, so I go back, and I know which color that corner page is, so I know what kind of quote I'm looking for. And I ran across this little quote. It says, "The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but a life without purpose." When we look at the Word, when we look at the Bible helps us to gain clarity among all of life's noises and distractions. The Word of God brings purpose into our sometimes purposeless lives. When you look at Jeremiah, Old Testament prophet, known as the weeping prophet, Jeremiah 29:11 as an example, God is telling Jeremiah this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Now, when we talk about this personal, we can personalize this. The Bible is telling, God is saying to us today, "I know the plans I have for you, Sister Claudia Parks. My plans to give hope and a future." And we can personalize and we can each put our name into that. "I know the plans I have for you, Pastor Roy Grant, you're retiring, but I'm not done with you." You never retire from God. We're in this to the end. It's just my position, my role is changing. But God says, "I know what I plan I have for you, a plan of hope and a future." This assures us that God has wonderful plans, tailor-made uniquely for each of us, plans filled with hope and promise. So adopting practical methods of studying the Bible can change everything. You know, we spend a lot of money on what I just call trinkets in life. I want to challenge you to buy you a good study Bible. You can go on Pentecostal Publishing House's website and you can pay right online there and you can get you a Pentecostal Apostolic Study Bible. And if you don't have one, I want to encourage you to get one. Are they cheap? No, they cost a little bit less, about maybe a seventh of the price of an iPhone. I'm going to put this into perspective. It costs about as much as most of us would pay each month for our phone service. It's going to cost you about $100. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to trust that people are honest. If you don't have $100, honestly, and you want a study Bible, come see me, and I'll make sure you get one. And you need to take that study Bible and you need to get into it and you need to learn about the God in which we serve. So many of us don't even know the God we serve. You don't even know. I want to encourage you, study it out. He's got a plan filled with hope and a future Set daily time away for reflection time. Our daily goal should make reading God's word a regular part of every day. Like having breakfast or brushing our teeth. Now, I know life is hectic and we want to just hurry up and we want to get in the car and get up on our day and got to get kids off to school and somebody forgot their lunch or their backpack or whatever it may be, or one of your kids got out the door and got one shoe blue and one shoe red. And, you know, life is life. But I like to take, and I may pray sometimes driving down the road because I can talk on a phone driving down the road. But you know one thing I can't do? I can't read and drive. I see a lot of people texting, driving on the interstate a few months ago, and I started counting. I had 5 cars in a row drive by me, people texting. I can't do that. My wife corrects me. Is that a text message? You want me to check that for you? You need to pay attention to the road. Only after 4 or 5 mailboxes did we, I'm just kidding. Our daily goal should make reading God's word a regular part. I like to turn the pages. I like to turn the pages, and I like to see what's coming up next. I don't know how you are, but I don't like reading the word on my little tiny phone screen. It's not big enough. I want a big bold print. That's why I had to go with a different Bible, because I couldn't read the other stuff. I know you can make the font bigger on your phone, but having 3 words on the screen doesn't cut it for me. I want to know what's coming up next. I want to get personal. I want to get into this. I want to read it. I read about some of these old Bible characters that we like to call them, some of these men and women that were awesome men and women and how God used them. I want to get into that. I want to read their story. Choose a verse that resonates in your heart, deep in your heart. You're going through a struggle in your life. I just want to encourage you. Choose a verse. Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 31. For those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. You beat up, life beats you up. Get you a Bible verse. I'm so thankful for years now. Brother Devin Hackla has taken on a little 3x5 card, blue or pink, and put a Bible scripture on it. It's nothing fancy. It's just his handwriting, and gives it to me, and I put it in my suit coat pocket. And I've got them above the visor in my vehicles, and I've got them in my office, and I've got them in books that I read. I got dozens and dozens of them, all with scriptures. I can't tell you how many times I've had a frustrating day and I'll reach in my pocket and I'll pull out that little card and read it. And I'm thankful that God put Brother Devin Hackla in my life to give me encouragement from his word. Read these scriptures like it's a compass that it's guiding you through life. Because life can be so uncertain. Man, we're here today and gone tomorrow. It's so fast, and doing so, reading God's word will cultivate a resilience in your spirit so that every little wind doesn't come and just blow you over. You know, you see those trampolines out in people's backyards. Oh, I was talking to someone, I forget who it was, and they said, our trampoline's like 3 blocks over. Some neighbor called and said, hey, we think your trampoline's leaning up against our garage. I had to laugh. We laugh about that, but you know, reading the word of God will cultivate a resilience inside of you that will keep you from being blown around by every wind of doctrine. It also gives us the assurance that's rooted firmly in faith and in love. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. this word, heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word will stand forever. Oh, you can throw it in the trash. You can get rid of it. You can delete it from your phone. But you know what? God says, my word doesn't need your phone. My word is written and it will not change and it will be here forever. Once you feel that power of the word surging through your life, reading the word will become naturally as part of your everyday lifestyle. I want to encourage our young people here today, and I'd say young people, that's everybody that's 99 and under. I want to encourage you to immerse yourself in the Word of God. Immerse yourself into its teachings. We just finished a series on does doctrine or why doctrine matters. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it, and you need to study it out for yourself. It's good that you take notes. I love it when I see our young people sitting down here taking notes. I love that. But you got to take those notes home and you got to study it out further. Don't just take what Pastor Roy or Pastor Peter has to say. Figure it out for yourselves. Let today be the day that you start to plug in to God's power source. Let today be the day you start to harness this divine potential. My next point is respond to the word in obedience. So many times we want to read the word, we want to quote the word, we want to preach the word to someone else, and we want them to obey the word, and we want to exempt ourselves from the obedience of the word. How many times have you said, and now let's just be real, okay? Let's just be real. You know me. I've been doing this for 12 years, and I just try to be as real as I can be. How many times have you sat in a church service and heard the pastor preach and say, man, I wish so-and-so was here tonight? They could sure use that. How many? You can answer. Raise your hand in your mind. I've said it. You know what's crazy? I've put messages together, and I've particular individuals come to thought. I said, Lord, I hope they're there because they can use this, and they're not there. You know what God's showing me? God's showing me that, you know what? Everybody that has a problem, you don't know about. And I had people come up to me that I never expected and said, Pastor, that just hit so hard tonight. And I'm like, wow, I didn't see that. That's the power of God's word. There's a danger in thinking, listen to me, this is one you write down. This is a keeper statement. There's a danger in thinking that if we read God's word, if we read the Bible, that we have done God's will. God's word and God's will are vastly different. There has to be an obedience process that is followed. We can read his word every day, but until we begin to obey it, the obedience part has to be blended in. So we read the Bible in order to know God's will. I remember talking with Bishop years ago, making a decision. This was all the way back in 1997, sitting at his dinner table or lunch table, breakfast table, everything table. And I asked him a question, how do you know God's will? And he said, son, if I knew how to tell you the answer, if I knew the answer to that question for you, I'd write a book and I'd probably be very wealthy and very famous. If I had a formula for knowing God's will, let me give you that. It's not an exact formula. It's different for everybody. But it starts with the word and obedience to the word. Obedience transfers knowledge. Listen to me. Obedience is what transfers knowledge into power. I know that outlet has power. I know it's there. But obedience is what transfers the knowledge of knowing there's power there to seeing the results of what that power can do. Obedience transfers knowledge into power, and power is what creates change. Power is what makes that light bulb turn on, or makes that fan start to move, or charges up our phones or computers. Obedience transfers knowledge, transforms knowledge into power, and power creates change. And powerful living. Sometimes we wonder, why is it that Brother Brunker, every time you see him, he's in a good mood? You know that maybe 2 days out of the particular previous week, he was in the hospital or had, you know, and then you see him on a service night, and he's just happy and smiling, and God is good all the time. Right, Brother Brunker? You wonder how, because you look at powerful living. Powerful living is produced by one thing: powerful obedience. Powerful obedience. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8 reads like this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own knowledge and abilities. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Obeying the word brings power. Now, obeying the word also opens up the door to blessings. Blessings into your life. So many times we see people being blessed and we just get an attitude. Well, it must be nice to have a new car. New pickup truck like Brother Jeff Rossing. I wonder how much that cost. You ever had that? You ever get that little bit of attitude? I wish that I'd show up here and every last one of us would be driving a new car because of God's blessings. You don't have to give to me some gold handkerchief in order to get a blessing from God. All you got to do is follow the word and obey it. Opening up the word or obeying the word opens the door to blessings into your life. Obey the word. Our next point is, and that's spread the word. Spread the word. And the Great Commission found in Matthew chapter, or a lot of Matthew, a specific chapter, but Jesus commanded us, Matthew 28, to go into all the world and teach or spread this gospel, this good news, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in spreading the word as a church body, disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to spread the word. That's simple. And how does one spread the word? How do we spread the word? How does that happen? Well, we can follow the example of Jesus, and we can spread it in person. Everywhere he went, he preached, he taught in the synagogues, whether he was with a ruler or rulers of the synagogue, whether it was children running around at his feet, whether it was a leper or a blind man, he was spreading the word. Jesus treated each one, everyone, as an important person with unique gifts. And when I look across this congregation of Calvary Gospel Church, this church has so many unique people. Every one of you is unique. You got to watch how you say that. Have you ever been in conversation? So, oh yeah, they're unique. That's not the unique I'm talking about. I'm talking about every one of you is unique. Every one of you is different. And God trusted each and every one of us with these unique gifts. And all evangelism really begins by valuing everyone as people of great worth. You think about this next Sunday. Today's Palm Sunday. Next Sunday is Easter. We have Good Friday service, communion on Friday evening. When I look at God, I look at each one of us, and God looks at every last one of us as a person of value. You see, if Jesus died for all, we believe that Jesus died for everyone. So what does that tell us then? That everyone has worth. Everyone has great worth. The next point in spreading the word is a pastor. Long before the title of pastor came to be used to refer to clergy, Jesus repeatedly used the image of a shepherd caring for sheep to the point of the importance of pastoral guidance and making or teaching and making disciples. A pastor really is nothing more than a shepherd. We're an under-shepherd. Jesus is our chief shepherd, but we're the under-shepherd. We're responsible for the flock. This responsibility is changing hands here in a few weeks. It's a big responsibility. And I take it very seriously, and I'll continue to take it seriously. But I just want to tell you, every person needs a pastor. We have a movement today that is kind of making its way across the Christian movement that you don't need a pastor in your life. You don't need a church in your life. To that, I just say a big old fat baloney. No matter how mature a Christian you may be, you need a pastor. You need a shepherd. You need someone to help mentor you, to help teach you, and to help nurture you on your specific journey of faith. Now, as a pastor, I don't have to make every decision in your life, and I don't want to. I don't care what color car you buy. You buy what you can afford. I don't care where your house is. You get a house you can afford. But we're not here. I'm not here. Pastor Peter is not here. We're not here to take and guide you. Now, if you need help and assistance in how to pick out a car and you don't have anyone to help you, I've helped a lot of folks pick out cars. But the biggest thing is you got to pick out a car, as Bishop told us years ago. You got to pick out a car you can afford. What house you need? You need a house you can afford. So many of us are house poor. All our money goes into our house. That's a whole other thing. We won't get into that. And we all need a partner. We all need someone to go through life with. I'm not going to get through all of these notes this morning. We're actually after noon already. It's approaching 1 o'clock, can you believe? Some of you panicked real quick. You just missed Culver's. Oh, no. We'll wrap up with this. We all need someone to go through this journey with. You know, Jesus didn't go through this by himself. He was not a lone eagle, a lone wolf prophet. When you look at it, Peter had a partner. A lot of times we look at Peter and Peter kind of stands out of all of the disciples. Peter, his brother Andrew. His brother Andrew was the first one to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. Andrew introduced Peter to Jesus. They were brothers. upon his quite dramatic conversation on the road to Damascus, Paul found a partner in Barnabas who vouched for him before a skeptical church elders. Understand, Paul had a pretty rough reputation before he became the Apostle Paul. Our musicians, our worship team can come. You can stand. Every disciple needs a partner for friendship. Every one of us, we need fellowship for sharing one another's burdens and for encouragement. So the word is powerful. The word can change lives, and we need to spread this gospel. Isn't it amazing? It's just amazing to me that Jesus left this earth and he left this gospel up to us. These are things I think about, and maybe I'm the only one that thinks about this. Jesus, God in the flesh, that means he died on the cross, but he came back to life. He's in heaven. He's never going to die. So why couldn't Jesus just stay on this earth and just keep ministering generation after generation after generation? Why did he have to leave? These are things I think about. You know what I think the reason is because he didn't want to become an enabler. To where that after a while it's like, well, Jesus does all the miracles. It's all about him. He wanted us to share a responsibility in this process. He wanted to trust us. I'm thankful that he trusted us. But it's a big job. The word has power. And we have to be obedient to that power. So as our worship team begins to sing, maybe today you're here and you haven't yet grasped the ability, or maybe you just simply are afraid to tap in to that power, into that word. I just want to encourage you this morning. As our worship team sings, begins to lead us in worship, to just come down to this altar and say, Lord, I want to tap in this morning. Maybe you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come right down to this altar and we'll pray with you. Lead you through the process. Maybe you need healing in your body this morning. James tells us, call for the elders of the church, and they'll tap into that power, believing in faith that your body will be healed.
So every dark addiction starts to break.
Let's tap in this morning to the power of his word. God bless you.
I speak to you.